This time I ask you to turn to the insert in your service folder. This is what hearers owe their pastor. I know last week I got the benefit of talking about what the pastors owe their hearers. Today we're going to go the other way around, right? And so look at the insert there, and I encourage you to fill in the blanks as you have opportunity. First thing I want to point out to you is that what hearers owe their pastors, what is it really about? There's two things that Luther is going to give to us here from these passages from Scripture. The first is, of course, supporting the pastor so that his work can be a joy, right? So that I can serve you with clear conscience and with ability, you know, not having my time taken, as Paul would say, waiting on tables. Now, the second thing is about listening for the sake of faith. Because how does faith come? It comes through hearing. Yeah, through hearing. So that's why Luther puts the heading, what hearers owe their pastors. Now, who are hearers? Hearers of what? This is pretty obvious, I hope. I won't point to people. Yeah, you, Christians, hearers of God's word, right? All right, so you could fill that in, God's word, Christians. Those are hearers. So all Christians are hearers, right? This doesn't exclude any Christian. How about a pastor? What is a pastor? Well, we didn't read it yet. The Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. So you see where the arrow is pointing? Those who preach the gospel. That's who Luther's speaking of. All right? Now, should receive their living by the gospel. What do you think that means? I mean, you can say the obvious things here. It's nice when we have children because they always pipe up when they say that. What do you think? Should receive their living? Yeah, support me. How our church understands it, and I think from what Paul says about, like I said, about not waiting on tables, is that the pastor receives what he needs for himself and for his family from the congregation so that he can dedicate his service to preaching and teaching, right? And giving the sacraments. Now, it is a shame that sometimes very small congregations, smaller than ours, feel the necessity, maybe they have to out of necessity, I should say, to have their pastors work outside the congregation. That can work if the congregation is small. If the congregation is not small, it doesn't work because he doesn't have time to visit, to prepare for the sermon, right? Prepare for studies. So that's what Paul's getting at here in 1 Corinthians. All right. Let's read the next one, anyone, starting with anyone. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. All right. Anyone who receives instruction in the word. Who is that? That's again the hearers, right? Right. Must share all good things. Is there a little squiggle line under there for you? Yeah, there is. Must share all good things. What does that mean? You have to give me everything you have? That's good. No. Right? What is it talking about? All good things. That word good is actually quite important. Paul's getting at blessings. Right? He's not saying that you should live in poverty in order to support your church. But he is saying that of what you have in abundance, to use that in service of the gospel and to help your neighbor in need. Right? Specifically here, to help the pastor. Your instructor, as he calls him. Instructor being the pastor again. Now this next expression I think we need to break down a little bit. So you see there's two underlined parts. God cannot be mocked. All right, God cannot be mocked. What does that mean? It's a hard thing to explain. What is it to mock someone? Yeah, to make fun of. That's how we usually use it, right? Okay, that's true. Yeah, you could mock somebody by poking fun at them, right? Or ignoring what they've said. Well, here with God, it's a little different, right? To mock God, I mean, you don't it's not like making fun of God, but it is to deny what he said, very specifically. So to mock God is to ignore his holy word, right? Or to say that it's somehow not applicable to you. That's a mockery to God. He gives the word to you and then to to ignore that or to act as if it's not important. That's the mockery. Now here specifically, it's in this context of sharing all good things with the instructor. So what's he talking about? A man reaps what he sows. That's the example. That's an agricultural reference, right? A man reaps what he sows. But it's true, right? What you put in, if it's a healthy, you know, growing season, you get back, right? And in abundance. He's telling you, what? That you, if you support the pasture, you'll receive it back even in abundance, right? As a crop would. You sow a little bit of seed upon the instructor of the word, what comes back? Yeah, great blessings, right? Because God waters that seed, and he cares for it, and he uses it to benefit you. Of course, the pastor is the one who's sowing what? Sowing the seed, as Jesus uses the parable of the sower, right? So it works both ways. You sow, support, pastor sows the seed in your heart, and it bears great fruit, abundance. All right, is that, we have more on that page, right? The next section is the elders, right? Let's read that together. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, "Do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages." Now, this is Paul writing to Timothy. Remember, Timothy, young pastor, 20, 30, somewhere in his early 20s probably, needs instruction, needs help as to who to appoint as the pastors of the church. Now, there is a word there, elders, right? You see that circle? That word, there's many words for pastor. Elder, we usually understand in English to be somebody who's older, right? Yeah. And in the Bible, elder doesn't mean that. Elder means overseer. It's the same word. It's very similar to the word for bishop. All right. So here again, who are we talking about? Are we talking about, you know, and like in our case, the board of elders? Well, they're really not elders in the Bible sense. They're deacons. Frankly, they're not elders anyway in the English sense. Rick's an elder, but he's probably younger than most of us. Well, not me, but most of you. Right. So that's what it means. And here he's specifically referring to the pastors and those who serve in the church. So those who direct the affairs of the church well, right, are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. All right? So support those who are managing the work of the church, or directing the affairs of the church, especially those who are preaching and teaching. I want you to focus on those who are doing that work. For the scripture says, "Do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain." And the worker deserves his wages. Now, the second one's pretty easy. The worker deserves his wages. Right? That one's pretty obvious. But this other expression Paul gives, "Do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain." You see, I have a couple things circled there. Paul's giving an analogy, right? He's equating the pastor to being an ox. What do oxen do? They do hard work, right? They're laborers, right, at their core. But imagine this ox plowing, right? And, or maybe they're harvesting. That's probably even better. He's harvesting the grain. You know, he's dragging some kind of scythe or whatever behind. I don't know what they used in the ancient world exactly. And he's hungry. If the ox is hungry, what's going to happen? He's going to stop moving, right? And especially if he's treading out the grain, what is he going to see? He's going to see grain on the ground and say, "I need some grain," right? And the ox is going to stop and eat it. What does it say? Don't put a muzzle on the ox. Don't keep the ox from eating, right, of the great harvest that's come in, because you need the ox to be fed so that it can keep doing the work, right, on behalf of the church. So you see what's going on there. Pastor's entitled to receive his living from the gospel, as we heard earlier. But what is treading out the grain? Preaching and teaching the word again. That's his work. So that's what he's doing. All right. Look at the next one. "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other." All right. "We ask you, brothers," underlined, "to respect those who work hard among you." That goes back to what we heard in the last one about honor, right? So respect and honor are connected. Yes, who are over you in the Lord, right? Remember, that's the word we learned last week, bishop, right? To be an overseer. So we're referring to pastors again then. Watching out for what? What do the overseers watch out for? Who are over you in the Lord? Are they over you like a domineering, right? I'm gonna slap you around a little bit. Is that what we do? No. How is the pastor over you? Not in a dominating way, but for doing what? Think of like an eagle, right? What does the eagle do? Flying over so they can see, right? So it's overseeing for the sake of protection, right? Maybe protecting the young, looking for predators, that sort of thing, okay? Overseeing you, who admonish you. Oh, well, there is that word. Sorry, I guess there is a little bit of slapping around, right? Rebuke and call to repentance, but not with my own words, right? Not with my own opinions as to what you should be like, but with the word of God. This is what God has to say, you know? And so, and by the way, inside little inside baseball for you, but when I'm calling you to repentance, that word is spoken to myself too. I don't rebuke a congregation for anything that I'm not guilty of myself, right? So the preacher is always having to, how does he say, physician, heal thyself, right? That's how Jesus says it. Hearing the preaching himself as well. So don't always think, well, he's personally targeting me and he's not hearing it himself, because that's not true. That's not true. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Hold them because of their work. They are to be loved. Why? They are held in highest regard and honor. Because of what they do. Because of what they do. Because of what you receive. Right? And then live at peace with each other. You know, this came from Paul's own experience. People didn't always listen to him. They didn't always hold him in honor and high respect. They didn't always love him when he admonished them, especially, but even when he gave them the gospel. So he's reminding Timothy, or here, Thessalonians, excuse me, the church in Thessalonica, to live at peace with each other. Don't argue amongst each other. Don't argue with your pastor. You know, listen to the word and be content with that. Live in forgiveness of sins, too. I mean, that's a big deal. What congregation, okay, we established from the sermon today that we're all sinners, right? You already believe that, now you know it again. If we're all sinners, does that mean we're going to get along? Actually, no. We should expect there to be fighting and dissension and division, huh? And people who don't want to hear catechesis and get up and leave, you know. We should expect that because we're sinners. But what does that mean? What do we need to do? Just remind each other, oh, you're a sinner. Mm-hmm. No. Forgive them, right? You know, especially if it's a personal transgression. Say, I'm sorry. All right, the next one, the last one, is Hebrews 13:17. Why don't we read this one together? Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. All right, obey. The word there in Greek, we talked about this in Bible class when it comes to marriage. The word is submit. Actually, so you see the circle there. Submit to your leaders. Be under their mission, if you like. Submission. What does that mean? It means to listen to preachers of the word because they speak God's word. To trust, believe, to follow what their pastors teach and preach, as long as it's in accordance with God's word, right? Because they are your pastor. Submit to their authority. Now, we've talked a lot about authority in Bible class, but maybe you haven't all heard it. I only have particular authority as a pastor. I don't have authority to tell you what color to wear to church, what color, you know, shirt to wear to church, right? Your boss, right? That'd be kind of weird. I don't have the authority to tell you what to eat for dinner if you haven't already this evening, right? That's not within my authority. I only have the authority that Jesus has given to me, okay? And Jesus only had the authority that the Father gave to him. Actually, it works this way. The Father gives Jesus authority. Jesus grants the church, and consequently his pastor's authority through the Holy Spirit. So there's a transferring of authority. The only authority I have is what Jesus said. He said, go and make disciples by preaching and teaching, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He said, to administer the sacrament. These are the authorities, to forgive the sins of those who repent and to bind the sins of those who refuse to repent. That's the authority that Jesus gave to his pastors, to his church and to his pastors, I should say. So the authority isn't my authority, but it's authority that I've received through the Word of God. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Our elders, we talked about this last week, talked about it again today. We studied this. Pastors, in particular, are held to a higher standard, right? We heard that last week. They're accountable to God. They have a special accountability because you all have been given into under my care, I think is how Jesus would say it, right? So I'm actually accountable to God for your salvation, for your faith, for guiding and instructing you so that you don't reject the faith and remain Christian. No pastor can do that perfectly. Only Jesus could do that. But Jesus says it's better for those who are false teachers to have a stone attached to their neck and they be thrown into the bottom of the sea. It's better for them to drown in the bottom of the sea than what he has in store for false teachers. Jesus going to hold the pastor accountable? Yeah. So take that seriously, because I take it very seriously. I mean, I made vows. That means I'm accountable to God. I have to be faithful to his word. And that's all I'm trying to do for you. You know, if you're offended by something that you do, maybe it's because I'm wrong. Or maybe it's because that's really my focus, that I know that you need to hear God's word and that I have to give an account if I don't do that. Obey them, or submit, again, is the word, so that their work may be a joy. I actually want to have a happy pastor. Isn't that fun? Not a burden. I feel like I'm obligated to do all this work. Grumpy from day to day. Maybe you've known grumpy pastors. I've never understood that. Unless this congregation making him grumpy, I guess, from what we heard here. For that would be of no advantage to you. You have a grumpy pastor who doesn't communicate the forgiveness of sins because he doesn't find joy in it either. Maybe he's not being forgiven by the congregation, for example. And consequently, he can't forgive them, or he has a hard time. And then there's no joy, because joy only comes from that, from what God has done for us and has forgiven our sins. All right? So any questions on that? You see what Luther picked out? Actually, quite a few verses there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? 2, 3, 4, 5. Five different verses, and there's many more instructions to you about hearing God's word and why you should support the pastor, but not just because he needs money, although that's part of it. I mean, there's no hiding that. Paul says it very clearly, inspired by the Spirit. But also because the pastor gives you his word, God's word, and you want that to be a joy, and you want him to be able to deliver that with a clear conscience and to your edification, to your benefit. All right, let's pray the prayer for the hearers of God's word. Let's pray that together. O Lord Jesus, we give thanks to you for the gift of pastors who preach your saving gospel and administer your life-giving sacraments to us. Crucify our flesh and destroy all impenitence and unbelief in us, so that we who have received faithful instruction in the word of God might provide generously for the support of our pastors. Teach us to believe that our pastors, who faithfully sow the seed and tread out the grain of your word, are worthy of their wages and are entitled to reap from what they have sown. Teach us to believe that preaching and teaching your word is the most important work that our pastors do, so that we might honor and support them in this work. Live together with them in the peace of your forgiveness and hold them in the highest regard in love, for the sake of the gospel. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.